My brother, let's go to God in prayer, trust Him to meet the needs.
Yeah, go. Lord, told me. I want you to know I love you, Lord.
Love you, brother.
Boy, you and Gunn and Brother David, what would this church be without you? I want to encourage you to know that I pray for you every day. Amen. And I know the church does, but you are loved and appreciated above everything. And thank you for what you do.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you. Brother Jacob Lauer is going to come pray with us and for us this morning. If you have a need, and I'm sure you do, you can trust God with that need. Just hold your hand up to Him and tell Him about that need as we pray. If everyone here in the world could say a prayer to God right now, He'd hear everyone. We're serving a big God. Let's trust Him.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us an opportunity to gather in your house again, dear God, to praise and worship your name. Dear God, I pray that you be with all these many prayer requests, dear Lord, that's been spoken this morning, dear God, the ones that ain't been spoken, the ones that are sick in our church, dear God, and around, and the ones that have lost loved ones, dear God, I pray that you give them a special peace, dear God. I pray that you be with this service this morning, be with the man of the hour. I pray that you give him words from on high, dear Lord, that you'd have us to hear this morning, dear God. And I pray that you'd come down and meet with us in a way that you never have before, dear God.
Amen.
I love you and thank you for all your many blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jacob.
I have one card that needs to be read. It says, the kindness you share is a special blessing. This is to our beloved church family. We would like to say a special thank you for all the prayers, cards, and calls of encouragement to us coming concerning the homegoing of our mom. Thanks for the great food, for those who brought it, also for their memorial gift from the church to the backpack ministry. All was very much appreciated. We are excited to think about just what our mom is experiencing even now. That's something to think about, isn't it? And she is reunited with her, our dad, and with our Lord and Savior in heaven. There will be a family reunion one day soon. This is a family of Pauline Wilkie. We appreciate that card. So this is Valentine's Day, and there's a lot of heart-shaped boxes of chocolate and flowers and roses that'll be given today, I'm sure. But there's even with a card that hopefully says just the right thing for that special person that card goes to. Now, us guys, those that are married, the way we treat our spouse, Jesus give us an example. I think it says in Ephesians 5, I believe it says, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. That's a tall order, but we can do it through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we're so thankful for that. Romans 5:8 tells us also that God commended his love toward us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I can't fathom the love that God has for his children. So let's appreciate that. And again, let's sing about that love that the love of God portrays. Let's all stand one more time as we sing the love of God.
Star and reaches to the Lord is there.
God is measureless. It's boundless. Thank you. Maybe seated just for a few moments here. There's a special song that I found, and of course I think most of it know it, but it's The Way That He Loves. This is about the love of God. We've already said it's boundless. It's you can't measure it. I love that last song where it says if the oceans were ink and the sky was parchment and you tried to write about the love of God, you'd drain the ocean dry. That's how much love that He has for us. That's how much love. Let's sing The Way That He Loves. Display here given by someone who chooses to remain anonymous, but it's to portray and to remind us of the perfect love that God had for mankind. How much more could He have done to give His only Son that all who believe, all who choose to accept Christ's sacrifice for us, to become part of the family of God, He gave His Son to die. So those heart-shaped boxes you may see today, let's think about the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ who was pierced on Calvary. Those flowers, those roses that we'll see today, as these roses at the bottom of the cross depict and portray the drops of blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Let's think about that today, would we? I appreciate all of the effort that went into this beautiful portray. It's a beautiful display. And thank you so much, that person. And that person is here, by the way. So we're certainly, certainly thankful for this person choosing to show us in her way the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for that. I'd like for us to sing just one more song. It's a song that lots of times our young'uns sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. Let's all stand and sing that one song.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
youth choir would come up at this time.
Because he first loved me. Mary Sue, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus? Tell me, why do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus because he first
loved me. All right, sing it with us.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Jim and Sharon, do you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? Tell me, why do you love Jesus? Tell me, Pastor Roy, do you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? Tell me, why do you love Jesus? Hey, tell me, church, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, I'm sure I love Jesus.
Tell me, why do you love Jesus?
This is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
The other Sunday, I was on my way home from church, and all of a sudden, my tires hit some black ice. And of course, human instinct says you want that car to stop, you stomp on the brake, which you're not supposed to when you're on ice. I felt my foot come up off that brake. The steering wheel jerked my car back over into the right lane, facing the right way. That was God. He was driving. That had nothing to do with me. It's his love. Then that Tuesday night, I come home from work, and a tree had fallen down on top of my trailer. And the front of the top of the tree broke off and came across the steps on my deck, and I crawled under and got into the trailer. I have a little dog. She was barking her normal bark. She was fine. I got in the trailer, not a crack in the ceiling. That's God. He took care of my dog, of my trailer, which is really his anyways, but he took care of it. And my nephew went up on the top of the trailer the next day and got the tree off and stuff, and he texted me and he says, your roof is in real bad shape. So I'm in the process of getting some quotes. But the one I got Friday is going to be between $3,500 and $4,000. I don't have the money. But, you know, it's the Lord's trailer, and if he wants it fixed, he's going to provide that need. And so I'm just praying, and I'm going to stand back and watch him work. But I just praise him for all he's done.
Have a song by
Brenda and Terry, so pray for them. Oh, okay. This could be a new group here I'm looking at.
Now, the older I get, the more I have come to realize, not that I'm old, but the more that I have come to realize, things are not important. Stuff doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is my sweet Savior. He's all I need. Pray for us. Merciful Father, wonderful friend, the first and the last and the beginning and end, Redeemer and Savior, our soon coming King, the Rock of all ages, He's all that I need.
He's all that I need.
Praise God, He's all that I need. He's all that I need. God of creation, Jesus the Son, the sweet Holy Spirit, they're all three in one, a refuge, a fortress, the giver of life, a comfort in sorrow.
Satan roar like a lion,
let him come in like a flood. I'm anchored in Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's all that I need, He's all that I need. Sweet Rose of Sharon, star.
Listen now.
The King of all
King
ages,
of all ages.
He's greater by far. Physician and healer, I am that I am. So righteous and holy, He's all that I need.
He's all that trials come, His blood I will plead.
He's all that I need. He's all that I need.
Let's say it
to like a lion. Let him come in like a flood. I'm anchored in Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's all that I need. He's all that I need.
Thank you for that beautiful song and all the singing we've had this morning, most of all for the anointing that God has placed upon the service thus far, and I know He wants to keep doing that as the morning goes on. We are so fortunate and blessed to have with us Brother Bob Martin from Vicksburg, Mississippi. I say that's where he's from. He never stays there. He's out traveling. He and his wife. Is Miss Joy here? Miss Joy, will you stand up back there? Good to have. They're a team. They go all across our country. He was here a few years ago, he and Miss Joy. They taught a class, I believe, on Friday night and Saturday on soul winning. Boy, that's a much-needed subject, isn't it? And they do that. They evangelize, and we're blessed to have them. They're busy schedule this morning. Brother Martin, if you'll come and mind the Lord, I know you will. And God's listen attentively and ask the Lord in your heart, what would you have me do? And then you do that.
Well, good morning. Some of y'all having a bad morning? Good morning. Well, hallelujah. It's the Lord's day. I said that to somebody one time, and they said, it's Tuesday. I said, if you're a child of God washed in the blood, I'm telling you, every day is the Lord's day. Amen. Well, let me ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1 while you're doing that. We just want to thank the church for praying for us, helping us. We were in 62 different churches last year. How can you be in 62 different churches in the midst of COVID? It's God. He's blessed in so many ways, and we thank Him. We were off the road for 2 months. My wife, we'd gotten back, and they quarantined everybody and everything. And so my wife said, well, it's a good time to clean house. And so we have a cabinet in the kitchen. It goes back to a corner, and she couldn't reach it, so she just climbed in the cabinet and cleaned it and didn't think anything about it. Next day got under the bed, clean under the bed, and couldn't get out from under the bed. So she was down for 7 weeks. Oh, I'm getting that look back there. Y'all understand that look, amen. But it was my kitchen. For 2 months it was mine. So I put stuff where I want it. Amen. And I could tell she's feeling better because all of a sudden from the bedroom, she's telling me how to cook and what to do. And so I said, well, she'll be up shortly. But we do thank you. We bless the Lord. Please know that you have a part in every soul that's saved, every life that's changed, every person that's helped, every person, every child of God who decides to make it their life's work to see folks saved. And that is our life's work. I had a young man, I was talking to him in a church, together about this size, and he said, it seems like you have a great church. And he said, they're just a bunch of old fanatics here. Well, I thought it was funny myself. I don't know. When I'm old. Hello. And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, they're just fanatics. And I said, so what are you? He said, well, I'm not a fanatic. And I said, well, let me get some scripture here and show you how to get saved. Hey, folks, we are to be fanatics. Hello? Amen? And do you say, well, when I think of fanatic, I think of somebody mean. No, we're supposed to be loving fanatics. Amen. because he loves us. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin to read at verse 16 and read through verse 18. And now I'm going to cough from every once in a while. I don't have COVID. I am allergic to oak trees. Y'all got any oak trees around here? There's only two pines in the whole city of Vicksburg. The rest of it's oak trees. And not just when they're pollinating. Seems like all year long. But anyway, I don't know why we got on that. Romans chapter 1. Let's drop back to verse 15. If you're able and you will, would you stand, please, and honor the word of God? Follow along in your copy as I read from mine. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now when he says, for therein, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. So it's the gospel that reveals to us the righteousness of God. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Our Father, would you help today, we pray. Lord, would you deal with hearts and lives, and deal with my heart, Lord. God, help us today to understand your gospel. Give us grace in those areas. Lord, I pray you'd save every lost person here. God, as your children, would you call us back to the line where to walk? Help us, Lord. We might be faithful to you in obedience and watch care. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's many things that are called the gospel. It amazes me. I begin to just look at everything that has to do and is called the gospel. And I came on a list of over 710 things that are called the gospel, or the word gospel is used with that phrase. And I thought, my goodness, no. Let me just give you some of them. Somebody says, I'm about to tell you the gospel truth. When somebody says that to me, I close the button over my wallet, lock my wife in the car. Well, I'm telling you, they're just about to lie to you. Amen. Jesus said, let you ABA, you nay be. Oh, yeah. There's gospel promises. There's a gospel message. There's gospel music. There's soul gospel, and there's bluegrass gospel, and there's southern gospel, and there's gospel rock. That one I've never figured out. There is nothing Christian our gospel about rock music. There's the gospel ministry. There's a gospel preacher. There are gospel people. There's a gospel creed. There's gospel dogma. There's gospel ideology. And by the way, all of that has to do with what is called the positive gospel. We should never be negative about anything about God. Which brings back to the idea of the young lady that told me that a loving God will never send a person to hell. And I said, but the truth of the matter is, God loves you so much, he let his son die for you. There is social gospel. There is black gospel, white gospel, yellow gospel, brown gospel, and gospel every other kind of color of skin in the world. There is do good gospel, there's do better gospel. You just can't do good, just do better. And all that has to do with what's called the gospel. There's a gospel creed, there's a gospel fact, which I am not sure what that means. All of this talks about the gospel. There are gospel churches. There are gospel people. There's gospel teaching. There's gospel ideology. There's even a gospel ethic. Over 710 of them. And the amazing thing is, most of them really don't have anything to do with the gospel that you find in the Word of God. Now, when you come to the book of Romans, the book of Romans specifically is the epistle of the gospel. This word gospel is used in it 13 times. And it's interesting. It begins with the gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, and ends with the gospel in chapter 16 and verse 25. Gospel is mentioned more times in the book of Romans than in any other book in the Bible. So he starts and he tells us all about the gospel. Well, let's describe the gospel. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's the description of it. Look at it. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, that's his salvation, called to be an apostle, that's his service, separated unto the gospel of God. There is gospel separation. Now, it's interesting. When we talk about separation, we talk about what we should not do. It's like my father said one time. The problem, he said, son, the problem you preachers is that you tell everybody, quit this, stop doing this, don't do this, quit this, stop doing that. And I said, I understand what you're saying. He said, but you never tell them what to do. Are we to be separate from sins? Yes. That is sanctification. That is the separation of God. He is separate from sin. Are we to be separate from sin? Yes. And Paul says there is a separation of the gospel. Notice what he says. He said, I am separated. Somebody give me the next word. Huh? Unto the gospel. Now listen, Paul's not saying I'm separated from the gospel. He said, I'm separated to the gospel. Listen, if you're going to turn from sin, you've got to turn to something. Well, we ought to turn to holiness. We ought to turn to righteousness. We ought to turn to clean living. No, he said, I'm separated to the gospel. How do you get separated from sin? The way you get separated from sin is you get separated to the gospel. What does that mean? Paul's saying, listen, my whole reason for living as a child of God is to give out the gospel. You say, preacher, can you give me a practical example? Real easy. What is the one sin in your life that you can't deal with? Well, preacher, you know, I really don't have any. Oh, you'll lie about everything else too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've all got them. Amen. Yeah, it's what they used to preach when I was a child, besetting sins. How do you deal with that one thing? It's like sometimes, pastor, it just rolls over me. I said, yeah, I understand that. How do you deal with that? It's real simple. Get your Bible, go knock on the door someplace, and go in and tell them about Jesus. That's too simple. Oh, listen, I don't find that God is real complicated. Oh, I know he is. I understand that. But I'm telling you, in dealing with us, you know, we're not really complicated people. You do understand that. Well, I have an earned doctorate. I do too. Matter of fact, I got two. But so what? I find that God doesn't come to me and say, now, what you did the other day was really in deference to my will and my love and my kindness and grace and mercy. No. He said, that's it right there, boy. That's it. Well, Lord, it's not really like you describe it. That's it right there, boy. That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, Lord, can't we put a nicer name on that? That's it, boy, right there, right there. You got it? It's right there. How do I deal with that? I deal with that by getting separated the gospel. You see, when you got saved, you got separated to the gospel. You can't spell God without go. You can't spell gospel without go. What's the work of the child of God? Go. Gospel. Take the gospel. Take the gospel. One fellow said to me, he said, I said, when's the last time you led somebody to Jesus? Well, it's been a long time. I said, well, what's wrong with your life? He said, can I be honest with you? I said, I really wish you would. He said, I'm afraid if I start doing that, if I start witnessing for the Lord, God's going to call me to preach or make me go to Africa as a missionary. He's honest. Amen. He's honest. And I said, oh, great. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, what do you mean? I said, listen, I'm a preacher, and I've been a missionary to Central America. And I can tell you, woo, right in the middle of God's will is the best place you can ever be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go. Why are our churches lagging today? I was talking to a Baptist preacher at Hamrick's this week. Y'all don't go to Hamrick's? And he said, I'll ask you a question. You're an evangelist. You're in a lot of churches. What's wrong with our churches? I said, it's real simple. We've quit going. We've quit knocking on doors. We've quit telling folks about Jesus. And I'm telling you, when we do that, our churches die. Oh, they don't die immediately. We just hit, what do they call it? We've plateaued. And then after we plateau, we start backing up and dying. He said, here it is. Gospel separation. Look at verse 2, Romans chapter 1. I got to hurry whenever we get through this. Verse 2, he said, which he had promised. What had he promised? The gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. You mean the gospel was in the Old Testament? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, when he comes to Romans chapter 4, he's going to talk about Abraham and David and said, oh, listen to me. They understood it. They were justified by faith. Do you understand that in the Old Testament, every time that person sinned and they brought a sacrifice and they laid their hands upon the head of that sacrifice and confessed their sins, they were looking forward to the cross of Jesus Christ. How'd folks get saved in the Old Testament? By grace through faith. Well, no, they got saved different. They kept the law. Well, what makes you think you can get saved by keeping the law? You can't do that in the New Testament. Hello? Well, it just pushed their sins back. Oh, no, no, they got saved. They got saved looking forward to a cross. The sacrifice which should come, that sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Now you talk about faith. You see, one of the blessings that we have is we can look back to the cross. Jesus died for my sins. They couldn't do that. They had to look forward to the cross by faith. Jesus will come and die for my sins. By faith. Look at the third thing. Verse 3. It's talking about the gospel concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. What's the gospel about? It's about Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you something. I love this. Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our what? Lord. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that's not his name? Jesus is his name. He shall save his people. He's the Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Well, he's the Christ. That means sacrifice. He's the sacrifice for our sins. So therefore, oh, he's the Christ. But I'm telling you something, if you're saved, he's the Lord. Now let me just make a statement to you. If you disagree with me, then you can come apologize to me after service. That's all right. Folks, listen, you may not physically say, Lord, when you get saved, but I'm telling you, if you got saved, the concept is there, because now he runs your life. My grandson went to the Navy, and he's about this tall, and he's about that wide, and he's a submariner. Why, I do not know. And I said to him, we'd gone to the store, and I was coming back, and I said, well, let me ask you something. He said, all right. I said, are you saved, you child of God, you Christian? He said, yes, sir. I said, and you're going in the Navy, and you're going to be a submariner. Yes, sir. I said, did you ask God about that? He said, sir? I said, did you ask God about that? He said, well, no. I said, but you just said you was a Christian. He said, well, yeah. I said, so why didn't you ask God about that? He said, I don't know if I want to talk about this to you, Grandpa. And I said, well, no, we're going to talk about it because I'm driving. Amen. Hello? Now, listen to what I'm saying to you. He's the one who determines our lives. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who tells us where to go, what to do, how to do it, what to say, how to dress. We were going to church Wednesday night, and we was driving by a car lot. We'd been looking for a tow car for our RV. But anyway, there was a truck sitting there, and the Lord said, you need to go see that tomorrow. And I said, okay. You know, so the next day I told Joy, I said, I want to go look at a truck. And she said, why? Oh, you wives understand that. He's going to buy something else. I said, I just need to. The fella, I looked at a couple of cars, the fella come out, and he spoke Spanish. And I said, ¿Cómo está? He said, oh, Ben, good. Oh, man, I got to talking to him in Spanish. That just surprises a fool out of a lot of folks, amen. Here's this white dude speaking Spanish. And I tell him, oh, we lived in Costa Rica, Nicaragua. And I got to witness to him and give him a bad Bob track in Spanish, Pepe al Malo. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, we left there, and I was walking in the clouds. I said, Lord, now I know why I was supposed to go look at the truck. Now, suppose I'd never looked at the truck. Ooh. He'd never heard the gospel. All he knows about Jesus Christ is that it's his first name, Jesus. And that's fun witnessing, because you say, oh, your name is Jesus? Yes, I know a Jesus. You do? Yes. Isn't that amazing? Now listen, that's the gospel described. Let me give you the gospel declared, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is one of those you ought to underline in your Bible, all right? Put a bracket around it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You need to memorize it. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the, what's that next word? Okay, we've got to do it again. What's the next word? Yeah, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. This is the gospel that Paul preached. Excuse me. Which also you have received, wherein you stand. You see, I didn't just receive the gospel, I live in the gospel. By which also you are saved. How do you get saved? You get saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Well, if you didn't get saved from the gospel, then your belief is emptiness. There is no salvation. Exactly what he's saying. Look at verse 3. For I delivered you first of all. That little phrase, those three words, is very important. First of all, that which I also received. Here's the first thing. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What's the gospel? The gospel is good news. When we define the gospel, it's always amazing to me, we want the theological definition. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Well, whoopee-doo. May I say something to you? I got 3 degrees in theology, and I'm becoming less comfortable with theology than I've ever been in my life. Oh, y'all getting quiet now. Brother David, I'm afraid theology is basically what men think about God and how they can explain concepts of the Bible. We sure muddle junk up, don't we? What's the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Well, yeah. But let's say I'm headed to downtown Fletcher in the morning. Why, I don't know. But anyway, and I walk up somebody on the street and I say, can I give you some good news? That's what gospel means. And they say, yeah, it's been pretty bad already. I'm coming off a drunk last night. And I tell you what, I need something good. I say, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You coming off a drunk too? Did you escape from the funny farm? I don't mean anything to anybody. But we've couched it in theological terms. So what's the gospel? We just read it. How that Christ died for our sins. Whew. You talk about good news. That's good news. Amen. Woo, glory. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, you old rotten, dirty, filthy sinner, Jesus died for you. You need to get saved. You're going to go to hell, and I'm going to be happy. But don't you catch yourself talking to folks like that sometimes? Oh, no. He died for our sins. I just as wicked as you were. Ungodly, you're just wicked and ungodly as I was. And he died for us, for us. And he died for us, for us, and for us. He died for us, and 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 us, and us, and us, and us. Hallelujah, what a Savior who died for us. I told you that's the first part. Look at the second part. Verse 4. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the second part. Both of them talk about according to the Scriptures. Preacher, how could that be a second part of the gospel? Well, drop back with me to Romans chapter 1 again. Just for a minute and look at verse 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He's still talking about the gospel. He said in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, that little word and ties the two together, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know what the resurrection of the dead is? It's the proof of the gospel. How do I know? Jesus died for my sins and your sins because he got up. He has victory over the grave and over death and over hell. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, look at Romans 1:4. Look at the last phrase, by the resurrection from the dead. See that word dead? That is a plural. Isn't that glorious? All right. Let me explain it to you. It's a plural. How do I know he's the Son of God with power? Because in Matthew chapter 27, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Old Testament saints got up and a bunch of them walked through the city of Jerusalem. Amen. Do you understand that when the Old Testament saints got up, it proved he's the Son of God with power? Oh, I'd love to have been there for that. I mean, saved, of course. I'd love, you know. There's some. I wish. And don't you just wish sometimes you could go back and be a fly on the wall in some of those situations? Here's a Sadducee standing on the corner. Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection, didn't believe in miracles, didn't believe in none of that stuff. And Abraham walks up and he said, oh, who are you? And he said, Abraham. Wait a second. It's a plural. The truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ himself got up. He is the final proof, that's for sure. Can I give you another one? Look at Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Here's what it says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Just like he died and rose from the dead, we will die and be raised from the dead. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Wow. Do you understand he's talking about salvation? In that particular passage, he's going to deal with baptism. You know what baptism is? Baptism is a picture. It's a picture of what, oh, we say, well, it's the first witness of the new child of God. I hope not. I've been running a survey for almost 50 years. Every time I lead somebody to Jesus, you know the first question I ask them, what do you want to do now? 99.9% of the time, you know what they say? I want to go tell mama. I want to go tell so-and-so. I want to go tell a preacher. They want to go tell somebody. You get genuinely saved, you just can't help it. You want to go tell somebody. Amen. No, that's not the first witness. That's the public witness. See, I always told folks when I baptize them, invite everybody you know. Fill the house up. Make it to where our members will have to get up and get their seats up and go outside and watch. Amen? Because what there's, and every time I baptize somebody, they're going to have to give a testimony. I tell them, listen, there's a microphone up there, and you're going to tell folks what happened. You know what baptism says? Baptism says, I died with Christ. I've been raised to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. I'm different. Everything's changed. Well, preacher, when I got saved, nothing changed. Then you never got saved. Because you cannot exemplify the picture if it didn't change. Hey, folks. It's a plural. When you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what you find is it talks about we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, things are getting bad. Oh, amen, hallelujah. That means it's getting closer every day. My father died at 90 years old in 1999, and he was looking for the Lord. He wasn't looking for a casket. He's looking for the Lord. I tell you what, have you noticed how bad it's getting? Isn't that good? Woo, glory, hallelujah. Well, let me give you this. You do understand. that Israel has to come to the place where they have no help from anywhere in the world. And the man of sin is going to come on, is going to come on the scene, and he's literally going to fool them into believing he's for them. But before the man of sin ever comes on the scene, there must be no help from any place in the world, not even the United States. And we're getting there. And before that, he's coming. And it declares him to be the Son of God with power. Wait a minute. When you come to the 21st chapter of Revelation, what you see is those lost, dead folks in the fire are going to be called up and stand in judgment. And it's described as a resurrection. I used to preach, bless God, an angel's going to grab a hold of one of them and he's going to shove them down to their knees and they're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. I think when they really see him, they're going to fall on their face and say, he really is Lord. And it proves that he's the Son of God with power. Wow. It's the gospel. A lady in our church, Miss Shirley, was probably one of the best workers we had. I'm telling you, she's quiet and unassuming. Her husband was a deacon, and he was a drunk. Well, there's such a thing as drunk deacons. I don't advocate that. But they sit right there on the second row. And one Sunday morning, Sister Shirley eased by her husband and came over, and I'm standing here receiving folks. And she came up, and I said, Sister Shirley, why did you come this morning? She said, I want to get saved. There's not many things that throw me, but I'm telling you, that threw me. I said, you want what? She said, I want to get saved. I said, Miss Shirley, I thought you were saved. She said, I followed my sister down the aisle when we were very young. And they gave me a card and said, you got saved today. Now sit down on the front pew. Fill out the card. She said, I've done a real good job of hypocriting all these years. Brother Bob, I've done the best I can. But I just need Jesus. Woo! She got saved. Standing right there, right there, right there. I announced to our folks, and they just stunned. You know, like, well, if she's not saved, what about me? I learned just let that go, you know. Let God do his work, amen. And so on Monday, she called me and she said, Brother Bob, I said, hey, Sister Shirley, you still saved? She said, oh, gloriously. I said, what do you need? She said, would it be all right if my sister talks to you? And I said, yes, ma'am, that'd be fine. When you want to do that? She said, well, she'd like to know if she could come at 10 o'clock. I said, sure, sure, sure. Her sister was a member of First Baptist Church in the town north of us. Unbelievably liberal church, but anyway, she came and I set her down. And I said, would you like some water or coffee? And she said, no, no. I just need to deal with one thing. And I said, all right. She said, first preacher, let me tell you who I am. I always like that. She said, I do have a doctorate in education. I've taught school for years and years and years. She said, in First Baptist Church, I've been everything that a woman can be. She said, I played the organ. I sang specials. I've sang in the choir. She said, I've been the treasurer of the church for several years. And she said, and I have taught the elderly women's class for 20 years. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, And I saw something in my sister yesterday that I've never seen before, and I want it. And I said, amen. You know how to get it? She said, no, sir, I don't. I have no idea. I said, it just means that you swallow your pride, swallow your religion, and admit that you're a lost, ungodly, wicked, hell-bound sinner. Trust what Jesus did on the cross when he died for your sins and ask him to save you. And she bowed her head and got gloriously excited. And we just had a great time. We prayed and thanked the Lord. And just so she got up to leave and she said, preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I need you to pray for me. I said, oh, I'll be glad to pray for you. She said, no, you don't understand. And I said, okay, tell me what I don't understand. She said, Sunday morning, I'm going to tear up First Baptist Church. And she did. And you know what she did last 6 months after that? Boy, they had to get rid of her. I mean, she was a walking picture of the gospel. They want her around. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Religion will send you to hell. Always. Preacher, I've done the best I can, but the best that we can is probably the worst we can ever do. Now, come back with me to our text. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here's the gospel dictated. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you that are Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Ever been ashamed of the gospel? Shake your head up and down. Oh, come on. Yeah, we have, haven't we? Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember when God told you to witness somebody and you didn't do it? Because you were afraid of what they might say? We were ashamed of the gospel. By the way, you don't have to live in that guilt the rest of your life. Just go ahead and confess it and go on. Do what you're supposed to do next time. But he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Is that little word unto? Put an X beside it, underline it. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. That little word unto is an interesting word. It means how to get from point A to point B. How do you get from lostness to saved? How do you get from wickedness to salvation? The gospel. Did you know the gospel will always get you from wickedness to salvation if you'll believe it? What's the reason we witness? So that lost folks hear the gospel. Why? Because without the gospel, they have no hope. Met a fellow one time, by his own mouth, he was saved. And he said, well, preacher, what about the folks in Africa and the Amazon that have never heard? He said, are they lost? I said, sure, they're lost. He said, why? Because they've never heard the gospel. And he said, well, I don't think that's very loving of God. I said, oh, yeah, it is, because God told you and me to take the gospel to them. I don't think the Bema Seat of Christ is going to be a lot of fun, folks. Why? Because, especially in our culture, we've become so self-indulgent, we've decided to let the world go to hell. Hmm. Look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's written, the just shall live by faith. He quotes Habakkuk. You want to understand the righteousness of God? God knowing that we were unable to save ourselves, knowing that religion would never bring us to Jesus, knowing that we're without hope, knowing that we're without help, God sent His Son, gave up His Son on the cross so we could get saved. God cannot excuse sin and rebellion. And so He sent His Son. And that's the offer today. Now verse 18. Here's what He said. He said, who changed the truth, Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed against, from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold, grab on to the truth in unrighteousness. It's the mystery of the gospel. Why is it some folks are not going to get saved? Well, preacher, you know, the laws of Calvinism say that it's God who grabs a sinner by the nape of the neck and the seat of the pants and throws them into salvation. That's heresy. Excuse me. You know why folks don't get saved? The reason some folks here are not going to get saved. You may have chose to play on your phone. Your mind may be 100 miles away because you don't want to listen. You just simply have already rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, substituted your own way of religion. God says there comes a point where you just don't hear God anymore. You've decided that you love sin. It's like the 19-year-old girl that I witnessed to, and she said, don't talk to me anymore. I love my drugs. And died without Jesus. That's the mystery of the gospel. Why is it God seemingly, as much as you love us, seemingly that would touch anybody's heart? A friend of mine tells the story of a pastor that he had. Pastored someplace up in North Carolina, and when he went to that church, the folks in the church decided that the first revival he needed to preach it, and so he said, that'll be fine, I'll be glad to preach it. He thought, well, I'm a new pastor, guess I'll get out and visit a little bit. So he started over. They found out later the name of this road or path was Robber's Roost. That's where all the thieves and the prostitutes and the moonshiners and the murderers, they all lived up there. Ignorance is bliss sometimes, preacher. Amen. And he said, he walked up this house and said, it had wooden steps, but half of them were broken. And said the screen door was hanging by one hinge and had no screen on the door. So He went up and he knocked on the door and said, this fella came to the door and said he had no shoes on, he had no shirt on, said he was dirty and filthy and his hair was matted, and said he had a pair of overalls on and the gallus came all the way over and hooked on this side. He said, yeah. He said, I'm the new pastor down at so-and-so Baptist Church, and said, we're having revival this week, and said, I just want to invite you to church. And so this fellow stared at him a second and said, you the preacher? He said, yeah. He said, preacher, have you lost your mind? He said, I think so. He said, look at me. He said, about the time his wife came around and said, she's in the same condition except she had a dress on. Said, dress is full of holes, dirty. And three kids came around and all they had on was underwear. He said, look at us. You think we'd be welcome at your church? He said, yeah. Preacher, are you crazy? He said, listen, if you're not welcome, I'm not welcome. Amen. He said, and closed the door. He said, that night, we started the service and said, I saw the back door kind of peek open, and that fellow looked through and said, he actually had taken a bath, and there's, he could tell that his hair was still kind of matted, but said, came in and he had a shirt, a t-shirt on under the, under his overalls, but he had a different pair of overalls. Said his wife had a dress on, so they were still barefooted, but said it, it had almost as many holes as the first dress, and said marched down the aisle, him and her and the kids, and he had a, he had a 12-gauge shotgun, double barrel, and he carried it down, and they walked all the way round to the end to about the third or fourth row, and said he got them in there, and said then he didn't sit down in a pew, said he climbed up and sat down on the back of the pew, broke open that shotgun, pulled the two shells out, stuck them in his pocket, and sat there. He said, I preached to him. He said, I don't know everything I preached to him, but I preached to him everything I could think of. and said, you could tell God's all over the service. He said, I'm sure there's other lost folks there, but he said, I was honing in on that fellow right there. And said, started the invitation. He said, if you want to get saved, won't you meet me up here? Said they sang the first verse and said, then the fella closed his shotgun, got up on the floor, turned around and laid his shotgun in the pew, walked to front and came to preacher. Preacher said, why'd you come? He said, you said I could get saved. He said, is that what you want? He said, yes, sir. He said, are you a sinner? He said, I'm way past that, preacher. You willing to ask God to save you? He said, yeah. He said, let's get down here in the altar and you ask God to save you. Got gloriously saved. He said, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. He got him up and he said, now, I need to present you to church. He said, one minute, preacher. 1 minute. He said, okay. He said, he went back there and he told his wife, he said, you can hear it all over. Woman, you need to get out there and get saved. I just got saved. You need what I got. And took her by the arm and drug her down there. And she got saved. And the two oldest children followed them and they got saved. He said, man, you, he said, you talk about glory. That's a good way to start a revival, amen. And said, boy, it was just, and he said, well, he said, I gave him a Bible, and they started coming to church. And he said, several weeks later, he said, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, oh, I'll go up here on the pulpit. He said, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, said, he's asleep, and he goes, preacher! Preacher! I need to talk to you, preacher! Preacher! He said, I got my pants on, got down the door. He said, what do you want? He said, preacher, I got to talk to you. He said, well, talk to me. He said, you know that Bible you gave us? He said, yeah. He said, I don't read very good. He said, okay. He said, but my eldest boy said, he can read pretty good. He said, all right. He said, he'd been reading that to us every night, preacher. And he said, look at me. I'm nothing. I have nothing. I don't know nothing, preacher, but feel like God's telling me I need to go preach that book. He said, amen, you'll preach your first sermon Sunday morning. He said, what? He said, you preach your first sermon Sunday morning. He said, but preacher, he said, night. He said, Sunday morning, he came and he got a new pair of overalls and they were kind of pressed. Got a pair of shoes on, didn't know socks, but I mean, you know. anything's an improvement. And said he put him up to preach, and his son had been teaching him, memorize some verses that week, and said God got all over him. And he said he preached the house down. Said it was evident God was all over that man. And said afterwards, he said, I presented church. I said, now, he came over the other night and said, God's calling to preach. And said, how's the church want to act on this? Somebody said, I think we all license him to preach. And they voted on that. And one of the old godly men raised his hand and said, preacher, if he's going to be our preacher, we're going to send him out. I think we need to send him to Bible school so we can learn about the Bible. They don't have any money, so we, the church, needs to underwrite him. We need to do that. Everybody said, yeah. Then he turned around and he said, all you women, you need to come teach. You need to teach this woman how to dress. You need to teach her some things. You need to go buy her some clothes. You need to teach her how to sew clothes. You need to clothe these young'uns. And he said, sent him off to Bible school. Ended up pastoring a great big old church up in Tennessee. That's what God does. You say, preacher, you don't believe in religion? I wouldn't give you a used dip of snuff for all the religion in the world. If that's all you've got today, I invite you, I plead with you, I beg you, come give this preacher your hand. Chuck your religion. Jesus, could we have a pianist come begin to play? Please, somebody, come on. Come on, ladies. Who's the pianist? Yes, sis, come on. Just as I am, quietly, please. If you need to get an altar now, we'll do it quietly. Amen. Amen. What about it today? Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher's here at the front. There are folks who can help you. You say, preacher, I've done the best I could. I understand that. But what Jesus wants to do is give you life. Preacher, I'm just a young person. I'll do that when I'm old. I buried babies. I buried children. I buried teenagers. I was a music youth director and a drunk in a Baptist church when I got saved. I asked the Lord the next day, Lord, tell me what happened. He said, son, that was your last chance. I wasn't dealing with you again. If you hadn't got saved yesterday, you'd have gone to hell. You say, preacher, you trying to scare us? I hope so, but I doubt it. What about it? Everybody in here saved, born again. Preacher, as far as I know, there's a day when the Holy Ghost of God showed me the wickedness of my sins, showed me I was headed for hell, showed me I needed Jesus, and I trusted Him. If that's your testimony, would you just hold your hand up and put it back down? This morning, yes, preacher, I'm saved. I'm born again. Hallelujah. I don't mind if the world knows. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Amen. Amen. All across this place. Maybe you couldn't do that. Don't leave this place without Jesus. Don't walk away without Christ. Preacher, I'm saved. Pray. God, the Holy Spirit's here in His presence today. What a great time for somebody to get saved. Oh, Lamb of God, I come, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Martin. Anointed preaching. God's word. And God promised it will not return to Him void. Brother Randy, you come sing that song they're playing. You know me well enough to know I do not extend invitations on my own, but if God says so, I certainly do. He said, extend this invitation while we're singing a verse and a chorus. God's dealing with hearts. He's conviction. And without Holy Ghost conviction, you're not going to do anything, but God's doing His part. You need to respond. You've heard. And with the heart, man believes. We're singing this song. We just come, if you're lost, bow. You may have burdens for someone. I hope you do. Someone you know in your family or a loved one. They need desperately to get saved. And if you don't have a burden for them, come ask God to give you a burden for them. Even wake you up in the middle of the night and pray for them. Would you come? Brother Randy's singing. God's doing the inviting. Listen to the Holy Ghost.
Just as I am without one,
someone, maybe you'd like to come pray, see God's face. And if you're lost, He'll save you. We appreciate that God-given message about the gospel. So clear, you couldn't miss it, and you'll remember it. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and I shall be saved. Because what Jesus has done, He wants to do it for you. And I remember when I got saved at 12 years old, first thing I wanted to do was tell someone, and I did. Remember when you got saved? You didn't have that burden. God renewed that kind of kindred spirit in their heart. We'll have a burden for others. We want to tell someone. One way of doing it is live a life before them that say Jesus in you. That's the best thing. While he's praying, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this hour, for this occasion, for this day. Lord, for the love of God, the songs of Zion, the precious preached word from the pages of your holy word. No, Heavenly Father, it'll go with us. I pray if there were some here struggling with sin, not confess the Lord Jesus Christ for Savior, that you will deal with them. If they don't confess it today, that burden of conviction will linger on, that they must get saved in the middle of the night or long days, whatever it takes. You're God, you know how to do it. And I pray, Father, that we that are saved will be more like you in these days and hours in which we live. There's no excuse. You told us in the Word of God, thou art without excuse. We have you. We have your blessings. We have your anointing. We have the presence of the Holy God in our lives and our hearts. And help us, I pray, in these days, with our nation, schools, parents. The need's great. You're able to provide. You promised you would. Help us receive it gladly in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, amen. You have a word to say?
Jesus saved me.
Gloriously saved. Amen. Amen. You got to pray for him. God for him. Thank you, brother, for being honest with the Lord.
God's good.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. We'll talk about baptism later, okay? Okay, let me make this announcement. As you leave today, you're going to have two opportunities to give. One is a regular church offering today. The other is for our evangelists. And his wife, Joy, live. They're from Vicksburg, but they hardly stay there. They're on the road. They travel. You know, it's expensive to travel. We support him monthly, not as much as we could and should probably, but we do. And the other churches hopefully do too. But your opportunity to give this morning, we see what they're going to do. They're going to present the gospel. That's a given fact. They prove that they have. Costa Rica, all across the country. I get emails every Saturday or Friday from him telling us where they are. And one morning he's in Texas, and that night he's in Alabama. Texas is a big state. They're on the road a lot. Give the way the Lord instructs you to give. And I know if you want to make out a check, just make it out to the church, drop it in the right thing back there, and the church will write one church to them. We appreciate it. Goodness of God. And you're dismissed. See you tonight.